So we want to look at, kind of back up a little bit, just briefly look at this. Again, hopefully it doesn't raise more questions than it answers. But how do you approach any book of the Bible? And here, 2 Timothy or any of the pastoral epistles this would apply to. It would also apply to the book of Philemon, because each one of these is written to an individual, not a church or even a general populace or whatever, like some of the books of the Bible are. So who is this for? Applying scripture in the pastoral epistles and really anywhere. All my examples come directly from 2 Timothy. And again, this would be longer, but I'm just trying to give an overview, and it's actually my first stab at this to put it down in a, just in a summary here. But the first thing you look at in any book of the Bible is the stated recipient. Okay, so here in 2 Timothy, it's to Timothy. So that gives you a key. It's not everything, but it gives you a key. It's directly to Timothy. It's not to the church at, or the church of Corinth, or to the scattered tribes of, or whatever. Okay, so it gives you, it's to an individual, just like 1 Timothy is, just like Titus, and just like the book of Philemon, or to, written to specifically those individuals. So a stated recipient gives you a tip. Again, it doesn't answer all the questions, because why do we study it at all then if it's just to Timothy, right? The second thing that it relates to is just the, I use the nature of a lot in here, but the nature of who it's written to. As you notice, 2 Timothy, for example, Paul is talking to Timothy as Timothy. As Timothy as an individual and as Timothy as a pastor, and you'll see this. But notice here, verses 3 through 6, I highlighted all of the personal references. He says, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you. And each one of these, by the way, is singular. He's talking about Timothy himself. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He's specifically talking to Timothy about Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother. Okay? He's not talking about our grandmothers. He's talking about Timothy's grandmother. And in your mother, he actually names the grandmother Lois here, and then your mother Eunice. So specifically Timothy, specifically to him and about him. And I am persuaded is in you also, it says. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul didn't lay any gift or give any gift to me by the laying on of his hands. I've never met Paul. Okay, so it addresses Timothy specifically. Okay, as Timothy, and as we'll see here, I believe, as Timothy as a spiritual leader as well. Another thing you have to take into consideration, and these are things that aren't as evident in English. Okay, so you can look them up or you can trust whoever's exegeting, who's explaining the passage. But the number in the pronouns and the commands. Notice verse 9 that's right underneath that statement. Who has saved, what's the word? Us. Now who's that talking about? Paul is now encompassing all believers, it seems. At least all believers at that moment in time. Okay? Who has saved us and called us. That us is supplied. It's not really in the text, but it's implied there. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So then, Paul picks up and talks about a broader group than just he or Timothy. Okay. Now notice chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, as far as the next example. He says, you, that singular. Therefore, my son, he's still talking about him. He's still talking about Timothy. Okay. Be strong, and the command here is singular. He's not, it's, if he was writing it to everyone, it would be plural. It would be, you all be strong. But no, you Timothy, be strong. And then in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you, singular, have heard from me among many witnesses, commit. And that's another singular command. It's written in the first person singular. It's not written to a group of people. It's written to an individual. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, again singular, Therefore must, and then endure hardship is another command, another imperative here, and that's singular again. He's telling Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent, again it's singular, he's talking to Timothy directly, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the command is to Timothy directly. Okay? It's not plural. It's not you all be diligent to study the Word of God. He's talking to one individual here. All right? That doesn't answer all the questions, but it helps us to understand who Paul is writing to. Just Timothy. Well, why are we studying it then? Okay? That's a good question. The nature of the commands and the instruction, this is another reason. Oh, by the way, this is all has to do with direct application. Okay? Who is it for? So, direct application is to Timothy, and then it kind of expands a little bit. But is this, I start asking some questions, is this specific to person and time? And it is to some degree. Paul tells Timothy, bring my cloak, which I left at Miletus, or I can't remember where he left it. And then he says, bring the parchments too. Well, are we supposed to bring a coat to somebody? No. We don't read that thinking, Timothy, we're supposed to bring a coat to somebody or the parchments. That's directly there. Also, is this directed to specific men who hold specific positions and have specific responsibilities? And I would say the nature, again, of the commands and instruction has to do with the person who is leading in the church, not the church in general. Paul is writing to Timothy, who was leading the church at Ephesus, not as just everyone at the church of Ephesus. Okay, so the nature of his commands have to do with, and we'll see this again next week, but have to do with preaching and reminding and charging people, okay, and rebuking people and refusing people. That's one of the things we'll see today, or to avoid or to turn away from, or training people. Those are all things that are directed to someone who is in leadership, not to the church specifically. So we have to understand that this is written to Timothy. Who Timothy is, and then also what Timothy does, what position he holds, and he is a spiritual leader. The same is true of Titus. This might be a little easier to grasp. Paul commands Titus to go to the cities in Crete and ordain elders. Is that a command that relates to everybody? Is everyone supposed to ordain elders in every city? No, that's to Titus. That's a command. And then he gives the qualifications to Titus, what to look for when he's selecting elders. Okay, so it gives that idea. So it has to do with who the person is, it's directly, but also what the person's capacity is or function is. Now then, then why do we study it? Because most of us will not be pastors. Some of us cannot be if we understand Scripture. It's limited to men, right? And then specific men, qualified men. But here's indirect application and derived principles. And this is, again, something you can learn from the book of Joshua. Even though God commands Joshua to do certain things, we don't go in and possess the land. But we can learn from principles from Joshua. Okay? And that's kind of how we learn. Okay? How the Word of God is profitable, both in the Old Testament and the New. We'll see that a little bit today. What basis, and this is a negative question really, what basis do we have to transfer this to other believers? Is there any premise where this would apply to all believers? Would we apply ordaining elders to all believers? And we say, well, let's find out. You know, where else is there? No, that seems to be a function specifically directed to other elders or apostles, okay, in Scripture. So we would look at it from kind of that vantage point. If it is written to specific people in specific positions. So we have to say, the next question, is this repeated elsewhere in Scripture? Okay, so that's what I've tried to relay to you on somewhat. Either there's a general principle or a principle that we're commanded elsewhere that applies to us anyway. Okay? So, is it repeated elsewhere in Scripture for all believers? Possibly something similar, but not exactly the same. For example, Paul said, the gift that I was given to you, Timothy, that I've laid hands on you, you use that, you activate that, you serve that. Well, we know from Scripture elsewhere that every believer is given at least one spiritual gift. Okay, that's not exactly the same because our gifts are not given by the laying on of Paul's hands or anybody's hands. They seem to be given to us by the Holy Spirit, most likely when we're saved. But we do have spiritual gifts, and the Bible certainly commands us to use those gifts. 1 Peter 4 tells us that, you know, it divides the spiritual gifts into two, but you do it, anyone who speaks, the gift of speaking, speak as if it were the oracles of God. And if anyone serves with all the might that God gives you. Okay, so the principle remains. So then we can say, well, what Paul told Timothy is true of us too because of what it says someplace else. Okay? One of the things that I know that is newer to most of us, and it was kind of a shock to me when I started thinking of this, is that 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, King James Version, right? Or New King James, be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't find that repeated elsewhere. It seems to be limited to leaders, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does everyone else do? That doesn't mean they can't go home and study Scripture. It's not a prohibition of studying Scripture, but understand that the Bible commands us not to be many teachers, that we are to be taught, okay, and we are to trust those that teach us. We're going to see both of those principles in 2 Timothy 3 today. Okay, more so brought out. But you do not see believers commanded to study, be diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. That seems to be an elder or pastor or overseer function. Does it keep us from reading the Bible? No. Are we to meditate in the word of God day and night? Yes. Okay? But God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. And it has to do with instruction. It has to do with the explanation. It has to do with very diligent, hard study. And the question then, I'll come back to it in a sec here. Is it repeated in the Bible elsewhere? Even if it's not exactly the same, is there a principle that applies here? The next one here, does this impact other believers? We're going to see this today. Paul tells Timothy specifically, know that perilous times are coming. Why would he tell a leader that? We'll talk about that. That's our first point. Okay, in the next section here. Why would he tell a leader that? Okay. But is it also something that will impact other believers? Perilous times will only affect spiritual leaders? The answer is no. Right? So we can learn from it. Even though Paul wrote it specifically to Timothy, it's something that Timothy could easily share with other people. Because it's still true of everyone. It's going to impact everyone. Okay? Everyone maybe not is required to preach the word in reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, like Timothy will be commanded in the next chapter. But everyone will be impacted by what it says here. Either you're in the word or you're being led astray, but with itching ears, next chapter. Okay? It's stuff that impacts. You don't have to preach, but you have to be careful what you listen to. Then, is there a general principle that can be derived? 2 Timothy 2:15, I wanted to come back to that. At the very least, you can summarize 2 Timothy. It's used as it is the theme verse for Awana International. In fact, Awana stands for a workman and not ashamed, right? That's what Awana, where Awana comes from. But it doesn't actually apply to kids directly. It doesn't apply, you know, to the church abroad, I don't believe. But there's principles there. There's a couple principles that you could say. It's very hard work to study the Bible correctly. And it's hard to get it right. Okay, those are things that you can learn. So if you handle the Word of God, understand that it's a lot harder than it looks. It takes a lot of time and effort and energy. And it's difficult at times to rightly divide it. Paul was writing to Timothy 20 years after he had met him, you know, so, and he's still telling Timothy, do the work, work hard at being approved to God. And how do you do that? By rightly dividing the word. Okay? So there's direct application to Timothy as an individual, as Timothy as a spiritual leader. Okay? We can take it as spiritual leaders. These are things that God told to a spiritual leader, and so therefore it's good things for you to consider. And also there's general principles that are repeated elsewhere, or there's things that, hey, it's just good to know that our pastors are required to do this. Okay? Or this is what is involved. And we're going to see that more today. I think I read 2 Timothy different than maybe you do. Why? Because I'm a pastor. It doesn't mean that it means anything different to me than it does to you. It's interpreted the same. But I feel the weight of 2 Timothy 3 that we're going to get into right now maybe a little differently than you do. Because guess what? I have to lead you through perilous times. That's a little different than just knowing that there will be perilous times, okay? And so it's the same passage. You're just going to go, oh, things are going to get rough. And it's like, I'm thinking, oh, things are going to get rough, and I got to lead people through it, okay? A little different approach there. So, all right, please keep asking questions. This helps. It helps me know where my gaps are. And I know this doesn't answer all the questions. In fact, I abbreviated the second point just because of time, because there's a lot more involved there. But understand that the Bible is written to specific people and specific groups of people or whatever, and it depends on what the nature of it is. When you get a letter, if you open up every piece of mail and answer it, I'm going to start sending you all of my bills. Right? And you say, well, this isn't mine. It's written to Kevin. Exactly, right? It's like, well, but it applies, because if you own a house, you're going to have to pay a mortgage unless you can pay for it. If you own a house, you'll have to pay electric bill or, you know, whatever the case might be. So there's application you could get from that. But